never filtered, always fun.
How about Bruce Boudreaux after the game? He is carving his team every four or five games.
Yeah. He's like, well, they step it up, and we just don't try it. So. With his tie undone, and it's just a mess.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, Craig Button in here for the O-Dog today. Jamie Noodles McLennan, it's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. The Calgary Flames are in town. Their only appearance at the ACC this year, unless these two teams meet in the Cup Final. I don't feel great about that projection. No. I don't think I'd put any future money on Flames-Maple Leafs Cup Final. Call me crazy.
Never know.
What kind of odds would you need to put money on that?
Like what? Like when you say odds, like
200 to 1
yeah,
to make
something
it,
like that.
You know,
yeah,
like to make
yeah,
sense
yeah,
for you
yeah,
to be like,
absolutely.
That's worth the gamble. It could happen. I guess
it would have to be one of those. You put a few dollars down because you go, okay, maybe it could happen. The probability of it happening are low, but hey,
yeah,
we'll see. That's what it would be.
If you were running a book in Vegas, which cup final matchup, as of today, would you put on the board with the worst odds? So in other words, you're not going to get as much money from it because it's most likely to happen. What would be your cup final if you're running a Vegas sports book right now and you're like, we got to make sure we don't get rinsed because there's a good chance this is happening. Keep it low.
I would say Winnipeg and Tampa Bay.
Winnipeg and Tampa
based
Bay?
Based on how things look.
Yeah, at this point in time, right? And, remember, Winnipeg. The book is adjusting all the time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Could change tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, Winnipeg and Tampa are pretty... They look pretty good, both of those teams. Yeah.
I would have Tampa in the East. I don't know who I would have in the West. Yeah. Like, I love Winnipeg, but I don't... Is Hellebuck really going to win you 16 games in the playoffs or 12 to get there? I don't know.
Nashville?
Never played before. I like Nashville a lot.
But keep this in mind, too. But Matt Murray didn't do it either.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So,
listen,
I mean,
it doesn't mean he can't.
I know,
but
that factors into the odds. I agree with you.
I personally think Winnipeg's a better team than Nashville. I do.
But do you think it's close?
Yeah, it's close. Yeah. And, like, Nashville's having some problems with Saros now, right? Like, he's had a tough start to backup.
Well, he had 43 saves last night.
I know.
Or 43 shots in a 5-2 win. I know. Yeah.
But he's, I think that was his first or second win of the season. He struggled out of the gate. And they're running Pekka too much. That's what worries me with Pekka Rinne. He's a really good goaltender. He's one of my favorites, but I think they're a little concerned. They had Saros down. They had Anders Lind back up, just backing up Pekka while Saros can get his game in order. I there's a team that's off the board for me. Like L.A. is a team that could scare people if Quick continues on. Kopitar's just rolling along. Like Dustin Brown scored his 10th the other day. Like
and Gabrick's got 4 since returning.
Yeah,
back
like
from
Gabby
injury,
actually looks pretty good. Like they're a team that could scare people. I know it's a speed game, and LA may not have the speed.
They've been there, they've done it. I think they have something to prove. Mm-hmm. LA. I'm not writing off LA Kings. I can't. I just can't.
Would you write Chicago off?
Yes. I don't like their team.
Don't like the way they're constructed?
No, I think that their key players have just aged to a point where it's like a fruit that you can still eat, but it's not as good as the fruit 3 days earlier.
That's actually a pretty good point. That's kind of funny.
I think, you know what, it's interesting. I still love Taves. I love Kane, but maybe they need that 4 or 5 year break like Crosby and Malkin had.
Or an influx of some...
Right.
That
and
juice of Sheary and Rust.
Turns over and everything starts coming in again. And maybe they just have to be mediocre. And I don't know. I mean, that's not ideal. That's not the mentality that team has when you win 3 cups in such
it's
short amount of time. But, I mean, St. Louis, they went into Montreal. They won last night. Braden Schenn. Oh. This guy's like up for the heart right
now. What a trade Schenn. That's turning out to be for Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues.
That's another team that I completely blanked on, and I watched the game last night. St. Louis, you can't sleep on them. No. They're that good. That Tarasenko is...
But that division, you got we talked about Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis.
Yeah.
So if you're the LA Kings and you're in the Pacific and you're going, okay, Vegas looks pretty good. They went again last night after it looked like they were going to blow a game. So now you're the LA Kings. Just go beat each other up there in that Central Division.
Good luck
and
with that.
That might be a path for the LA Kings.
But here's what's scary about that. The fourth team in that division might be the second best team in the Pacific. And what I mean by that is Nashville, Winnipeg, St. Louis gets it. Let's say Chicago gets going or Dallas actually Hitch gets that team rolling. And it's like Bishop's on fire, and that's who you got to meet in the first round if you're L.A.
But that's the fifth team you'll play.
I hear you. Yeah. But still, you know, like that's...
But when you're looking at real contenders, and I think that we... I think St. Louis, Nashville, Winnipeg, I think we... Yeah. Today, we look at them as legitimate.
Sure.
Yep.
You're still the L.A. Kings going, okay, you guys go have some fun with each other.
Yeah, exactly. You guys go ahead, and we're going to continue to forge along. Yeah. But Tampa seems legit out east, but I wouldn't sleep on Pitt either. Like, they're a team that... can get it together at the right time.
All right. We'll get back into this conversation. We'll put Ray on the spot to play bookie in Vegas and how he would answer this. But before we get to Ray, we have to play his exit meeting.
Oh, yes.
From Monday. If you missed this, it was a gong show of an afternoon for Ray. He's got the house. I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, they're moving into a new house. They're getting work done out in Vancouver.
All hell's breaking loose.
All hell is breaking loose. And this is how our conversation ended 2 days ago.
So look, they lose Mark Mathot. You guys, you're not going to freaking believe what this UPS guy just did. He just ripped one of the wires out of the... I got to stop him now. Hang on. See you later, boys.
All right, later. All right. That was Ray on Monday. We got Ray back today on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
After he's been released from jail.
Yeah, you're out of jail, right?
Oh, the neighbors are just going to love us. They really are. You know? We've built a house in an existing neighborhood. So if you've ever been around construction, it's a mess, right? But right now we've got like front end loaders in the driveway. There's extra dirt and rocks piled around. Then this giant UPS truck shows up to deliver this literally 1-ton pallet of stuff. And as I was telling you guys, he's a slow talker. I got to get going. I'm talking to Tyler. Tyler, I need 5 minutes. He calls me back in 5 minutes. Tyler, I need 3 more minutes. Like, it's just not rolling. And then this guy pulls away and pulls down two, turns out to be cable wires off the poles. Well, I don't know what they are. And he says to me, well, why don't you, you know, just grab one, we'll move it. I'm like, I'm not grabbing it. You grab it. I'm like, I don't know if it's a cable thing. So Cammy calls 911. The fire truck comes up the road. The sirens are going. Guy gets out. He's like, hey, Ray, how's it going? I'm like, oh, great. Now he knows who I am. He's like, what an idiot you must be. So he looks at it, and he's like, yeah, they're cable wires. The neighbors are looking out. I mean, like, it couldn't have been more of a debacle if I tried to schedule it to be more chaotic. I don't know that I could have.
I love that the fireman knew who you were, and I just wish he... I wish I could have been there when he was like, actually, it's a cable wire. By the way, what's up with this Tanev rumor? Like, are they going to deal him?
Oh, they were... And, you know, firemen, man, they're... Most of them are athletes, and they're right into it. We ended up talking about Brock Besser and stuff while the head guy was out going across the street telling the neighbor that, oh, yeah, you don't have cable either.
Well... Listen,
By the way, it just concluded, that day concluded when just when the fire truck left and the UPS guy finally left, these three dump trucks come around the corner to dump basically the front yard into the front yard because we needed a bunch of fill. And I'm like, there couldn't be another truck on this street. Like, seriously, I'm going to take the kids to soccer and get out of here. Cammy, why don't you fix this? Because I'm going to lose my mind.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, we're laughing about this, but the truth is you got on a plane and you went to a place where they need as many fire trucks as they can get. You're down there in Anaheim, the L.A. area. I mean, these wildfires they're unbelievable. I mean, I'm watching video, CNN, live, everything. Everything's about what's going on in L.A. I mean, what's the scene like where you're at?
Well, the fires are, they're away from where the Staples Center is, but it's up the 405 highway. And Noodles, I don't know if you guys ever practiced out at the Isoplex.
Yep.
But you would have gone by the big Getty Museum up, which was up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the fires from the 101 highway to the 10 highway, which is a major section of the 405, is closed. Like, because of these fires. You can see, it looks like smog in the distance, but it's really the smoke. And in British Columbia this year, we spent a good portion of the month, late July into August, under smoke from the, there's major forest fires up in the Cariboo region and in the Okanagan. They all blew into Vancouver, and they just, it's like a roof that's on top of your city. The air quality's terrible, which is what I can see in the distance. But when you look at the fires on TV, man, we were talking today, like, how do they even put those out? Like, how there's no rain. Like, how does that even happen?
Well, you know, Ray, I was there in October when the Canadians were out there, and it was just as bad then. And, you know, there was one, even just before that, they were talking about that they might cancel a game with the Ducks. I forget who they were playing because they were worried about the fires being so close to the arena. So, I mean, and as we well know with fires, it can quickly get to a spot where it becomes real dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, I read Nate Thompson's grandma. Bruce Garriock had this today. Nate Thompson's grandma was evacuated, and his parents must be in a different region, but close. They're awaiting word as to whether they need to be evacuated. You know, of course, Nate's out here as the Senators play tonight in Anaheim, but it's, you know, sometimes you just, I get caught in this, you know, you watch it on TV and it's a fire and it looks terrible. And then you have to take a step back and go, whoa, those are actually real people's houses. Those are real people that have to scramble out of there and take whatever you can fit in your car to get out of there. Like, what a terrible, terrible thing.
It's terrifying. Leafs Flames tonight, you're out there, Anaheim Sens. And prior to having you on, I don't know how this came about, but we were playing Vegas bookies, and we were trying to put together the Stanley Cup matchup that would have the worst odds, that would protect the house the most. And collectively, the three of us had Tampa in the East. We all said we would put Tampa versus somebody else, but we all had a very difficult time picking a team from the Western Conference that, if you had to put together a cup final matchup and put it on the board in Vegas, that you would think, okay, we got to be careful here because there's very good chance this will happen. What would your matchup be?
I would take Nashville. And Tampa.
Nashville, Tampa?
It bothers me that everybody takes Tampa because that means it'll never happen. Right? Like, when something seems so obvious, you're like, I don't know. It just, as great as they've been, I'm just looking at the standings. They're 4 points in front of Jersey, 5 in front of Columbus, 5 in front of Toronto. Like, they're, you know, it's not like they're home cooked right now. Like, everything's so great. You know, they're so much better than everybody else. But I would pick Tampa, and then I think once Ryan Ellis gets back and gets healthy, you know, gets some games underneath him, they're a really, really good team. They're dangerous. They're deep. They're big. They're aggressive. That would be my team to pick.
I have a suggestion, Ray. I know we talk about it. We start to look ahead, and we start. So this is just today. I think we should do a preseason preview, and then we should do a 25-game season preview into the season. Because how the hell do we really know at the beginning of the season how teams are going to play?
No.
So just let's go with today. How does it look today if they started today?
Like, if anybody had in their preseason prediction the Pacific Division looking at Las Vegas or L.A., Las Vegas, and Vancouver as the top three teams, go to Vegas now and make a bet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think I'd have to go look. I don't think I picked. I might have picked LA 8, but I don't think I did. I think I had them out of the playoffs this year, but I certainly didn't have them with 90 goals, over 3 goals a game.
Yeah.
I mean, who had that? Who had Vegas with almost 20 wins?
And they're scoring too, Ray. Like, they're not doing it like the Florida Panthers did it in 93-94 with that Roger Nielsen's trap.
Oh, were they dreadful to play a game?
I'm not trying to conjure up bad memories, Ray.
We'd go down there into that into the Miami arena, and it was loud, and it was a pretty awesome place to play. But you went in there, and they just smothered you. And you could, I don't know what you had to do to get a hooking or a holding penalty, but back then, but they were doing it. And like you just couldn't go anywhere. There was nowhere to go. They get two goals on you, you might as well have just gone home and saved the effort.
I want to ask you just back to the LA Kings and the scoring. So you know, Daryl Sutter wins two Stanley Cups. We know how good they were defensively and without the puck and controlling the puck. Like, does a change of style of play under John Stephens, Pierre Turgeon in there, you know, trying to help as an offensive coordinator, has that been that? Well, I think the answer is obvious, but why is that so significant?
Well, I don't think it was just the style change. Now, you know, Jamie played for and coached with Daryl, that's a pretty intense day-to-day. And there was a time for Daryl, and it was when the Kings were floundering, and Daryl came in there and they won their Stanley Cups. They won, you know, in, what was it, 2010 and 2014?
12 and like 14,
they won their, 12 and 14, they won their Stanley Cups. And I don't think that would have been possible without the way that Daryl changed the way the Kings played. You know, from Dean Lombardi to him, it was his time. But now there's a time when things had to change again. And it's like, you know, I talked to Andre Kopitar the last time that I did a game with the Kings, and he said, it was in Ottawa, and he said, the changes aren't great, you know, like they're not these massive changes, but it's enough. So guys, they're just less stress, a little more aggressive. You watch the Kings play, it's not like they give up 35 shots a game.
No.
Like they've abandoned that system. That's not it. It's they're more aggressive. They're more offensive. They're more proactive. Kopitar last year, for all of us that have kids, Noodle's got a second young one, but your life changes big time. Kopitar, for the first time in 10 years, didn't lead the team in scoring last year. They had their second baby. He said it was a massive change for him. Like, he just was overwhelmed. He was tired. They've played a lot of hockey. They had the World Cup. Kopitar looks like a different player. He's an MVP candidate right now. I don't know where Dustin Brown turned into this Dustin Brown, but in three of the last 4 years, he had 11 goals. He's got 11 already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like that, part of that is the change to the new system, the new style, or the newer updated style, I will say. That's what I'll call it. And then you, because let's not forget here, they're doing this without Jeff Carter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who's arguably their best pure scorer. And it's really, I'm blown away. I mean, Doughty's been fantastic. They've got him and Jake Muzzin back together for the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks or so, and those guys are playing big minutes. I'm laughing when I read they're trying to ease off Doughty's minutes. He's at 27 minutes. You know, it's not like it got him down to 22. You know, he's still out there the whole bloody game, and he's having an amazing year.
Well, I mean, getting back to the whole projection of a cup final from Toronto's perspective, if we all pick Tampa, I think that's actually a better position to be in. Like, if you only think there's one elite team in the conference as opposed to potentially a few in the West,
yeah,
I mean,
I picked
easier avenue to get as far as you can go.
I should be on record saying that I picked Washington at the start of the year because I think that the pressure will be off of them. They've had so much failure in the playoffs that it was almost kind of like the Anaheim / San Jose that had broken our heart the last, whatever, 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's not going to win the President's Trophy this year. Maybe they skate kind of under the radar and get it together, like Backstrom game turnaround. Ovi just scored his 20th the other day. I wouldn't sleep on them either.
But look at the difference in perception, right? Like the Leafs and Washington have both played 28 games. Toronto 17-10-1.
Mm-hmm.
There's some nitpicking. Yeah, I'd like to see Marner and Nylander score a little bit more. Maybe Haynes, he doesn't have to play a full 2 minutes.
Right.
What's McElhinney going to bring as a backup? But for the most part, jubilation in this market.
Yeah.
People very happy. Washington is 2 points behind the Leafs. And it's like, ooh, something's not right with them. They're different. And it just doesn't. They're still right there with the top seven or eight teams in the league.
slow start.
But they could have as many wins as they want. They could look and do and say whatever they want, and everybody's going to say, good, call me April 15th.
Right. That's the truth. That is.
And so, you know, like, right where Toronto is now, if you finish second in the Atlantic, that's probably a pretty good place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be a pretty good place to start. If they were playing Montreal, it would be, you know, it would be so fun. But they would be the favorite. Toronto would be the favorite for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would.
And then once you get into the playoffs, I think we've seen enough that there are very few series where a team just gets bombed right out of there. Anaheim blew Calgary out of the water last year, but for the most part, they're pick'em series. Like, but what about on the other side? Like, Jersey can't win the division, can they?
They rolled into Columbus and spanked them last night.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, they can't, can they? Oh, I don't know. Maybe they can. See, Columbus is a team I wouldn't. I think they've got a deal left in them. Jarmo Kekäläinen strikes me as a pretty aggressive guy. When they feel the time is right or the players open up, I see them adding a centerman, and I think a centerman can really help that team. And that's a very good team already.
Well, I mean, the trade deadline is still months away, but there's been a couple of deals in the league, and you're right, though. I mean, there's more opportunity this year for maybe owners that are in a position that they haven't been in a long time to go to their GM and say, like, we've talked about Vegas a lot. How do they sell off if they're well into a playoff spot? I don't think they can. I don't think they will. Jersey, another team like that. Columbus has never, they've never won a round, I don't believe, in the playoffs. So if you're their owner in that kind of market and they're in a really good position, you would think the owner might step in and say, yeah, go for it, or make a push. And then you've got the old school guys who are there every single year that are always aggressive, like Washington, like Pittsburgh, like maybe Chicago, who are constantly in win-now mode. I mean, we talk it up for months, but hopefully there's actually real action at the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, I think what we need is we need to make sure, I don't know how we can do this, the four of us, but make sure that some teams, six or seven, fall off the pack.
Yeah.
Because then they're sellers. We need teams to be defined sellers for the trade deadline. We can't have a whole bunch of teams clumped up against the cut line there, because then nobody wants to be very aggressive. I mean, I got to believe Jason Botterill's phone's ringing every two steps right now, because they're done.
Who would you want on Buffalo? Like, Eichel's obviously off the table, but who else would you be calling on with Buffalo?
Kane.
Yeah.
I'd be calling on Evander Kane for sure. I'd think about Sam Reinhart. Although I'm not sure what position he's playing right now. You know, he seems to go back and forth. And,
I think that's part of the problem, Ray, too, with Sam.
100%. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you? You're playing. He's playing left wing. Then sometimes you tune in, he's playing right wing. Now he's in the middle. I don't know. I don't think that ever works for a player. Too much thinking leads to too much paralysis. Eventually, you got to go just play.
I have to. Brian's giving me the wind up, and I have to ask you, Ray. Cammy is not a former. She's always going to be an Olympian. What were her thoughts about the IOC decision yesterday in Russia?
Surprised. That it was so significant, and I, you know, we talked about it a little bit. That it seemed like it had to be, except so often with the Olympics and the IOC, what has to be doesn't occur. Mm-hmm. Like when they did this investigation and they found them passing clean urine through a hole in the wall, you're like, how could it be any different? Like, there has to be a ban. And then we started talking about, now I wonder what's going to happen. Like, the Russians might say, to hell with you all, and we're not coming, or they might say, to hell with you, and here come the clean athletes under the OAC banner, and they're going to show you how great Russian athletes are. But
Putin today said they all can go, all the athletes can go. He's not banning anybody. He did say that today.
Well,
So they can go under the OAC banner.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so what's up with the KHL? What are we, have we heard anything today on them?
Nobody knows.
Everybody can go.
There you go. Oh.
That's what that, that's what I got out of it.
Well, they'll find another hole to slide some urine through.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, how do you know these guys are going to be clean? Well, the only thing that's changing is the flag.
I still actually...
But it was the systemic cheating, as Ray pointed out, leading up to in the Sochi Olympics. It was the Russians controlling the doping system.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, but it's in South Korea. They don't have the same access.
I'm willing that's, to... they may have fixed an election, not in Russia. So I think some doping in South Korea may not be the most difficult thing.
I think it's funny because that Ray just brought that up quickly, that... Like they were sliding urine through a hole in the wall, or they, you know, they found that out. Like,
it's like an Abbott and Costello.
It's crazy. Like that's how crazy it is. But
anyway,
well, we'll see what happens.
I know you guys got to go. I'm going to tell you the first time I ever got drug tested was the first time I came over for Team Canada. You know, it's a random test. I got four assists in the game, and I got randomly checked. Go figure that. So I'm in the testing room with a guy from Finland. It was Timo Blomqvist, Craig. You would remember
him,
for sure.
Yep.
And so we're sitting in there, and they have, like, soda and water and some beers, and you're sitting there trying to drink so you can go to the bathroom. Blomqvist drinks seven beers. I don't even think he was trying to go to the bathroom. He was just pounding these beers. And then you go to the bathroom, and the monitor, they walk around the corner with you. They're standing a foot away from you while you're trying to go pee in a little cup here, and you're like, "That pal, could I have some privacy?" They're like, "No." So you're like, the first time I'd been in this thing, I'm like, "Man, this is a weird thing." But Blomqvist was out there pounding beers. He had a great time.
Party time. Excellent. Wayne's World.
Awesome.
He scouts for the New Jersey Devils now.
Well, that's why they're so good. That explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys. Later.
All right. Yeah. Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Jerry's Percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
Jerry's back. Tell a friend.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC Best Portuguese Chicken do the cooking for you. Head down to 942 the Queensway or jump online, bestpc.ca. We love some Best Portuguese Chicken. This spot is outstanding down on the Queensway. Check it out. Perfect for this time of year, or quite frankly, any time of year. So, O is off today.
Yep.
And somehow when O is off, Jerry mails it in too. He's very connected to the O Dog.
Yeah, he is.
It's kind of in his deal almost. So, we were thinking of reaching out to Jerry's sister, Jerry Ann, who has been on the show before. Mm-hmm. And
Jerry Ann's been on the show?
Jerry Ann.
You know what I'd like to see the old dog do?
What's that?
Become a ventriloquist, and he could have his little doll that talks and talks back to the old dog.
Harry Fader. Yeah. Is that the guy who has the...
He's big.
Yeah.
He's
Harry
real
Fader.
Big.
But could you imagine, and then his little man would talk back to him, or whoever he did, and talk back to, that would be great. That would be great theater.
Multitasking is not necessarily in his wheelhouse, though, Craig.
No, yeah,
I don't
right.
think it would work. I would like to
but
see
the image,
it
wouldn't it be good?
The image would be great.
Maybe we could just do it. One of us dresses up as the old dog, and we have the old dog
the old dog
ego.
Puppet. The old dog puppet.
Exactly.
That would be great. All right, so Jerry emailed in his takes, right? He's got a bunch of takes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same thing. I'm going to place a percentage on all of them. Happening, not happening, where we stand between 0 and 100. All right, the first hot take from Jerry. By the year 2020, both Seattle and Houston will have NHL teams.
Year 2020?
The year 2020.
like been awarded teams or playing teams there?
They've been awarded. You know that those two markets are going to have the NHL.
Whether right then or within a year.
Yeah, maybe in 2021, 2022.
You guys talked about the lockout yesterday.
Right.
Talking about that whole scenario too.
You'd like to believe expansion would be lockout proof, but you never know with this league.
Yeah, you never know what's going on.
All right, where's the percentage at?
11% for me. That both. Flow.
11%? I'm going, you know what? I'm going high.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
I think one is for sure.
Yeah, I'm going high, though. I'm going 67%. So that's a 2 out of 3 chance. 66.6666.
Okay, that's good. You can do that. I'm going higher than that.
Okay, I like it.
Seattle's 100% lock, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
I think it's an absolute lock, and
But remember, we said by 2020.
Right. But I think, you know, that building is supposed to be ready by 2020. I think the announcement could happen in the next couple of years.
Right.
So I think the announcement by 2020 will be there for Seattle.
Okay.
And I think when you've got Houston, which I believe just recently passed Chicago as the most populated city in the United States outside of New York or L.A. If not, it's right there. You've got oil money.
Top four.
Top four for sure. You've got the Fertitta ownership down in Houston with the Rockets who just paid that kind
of
money.
Bucks.
They're already saying we're in. I think that is so enticing to Bettman and the owners down there. So enticing to be a part of Houston.
I think it's enticing to Andrew Barraway.
Yeah.
Arizona. Potentially relocate.
That's what I see it as. I see it as a relocation.
I'm fine with that, but I think that could happen in the next 2 years. I'm going 75%.
Okay. Well, we're not 75%. That far off.
We're around the same ballpark.
I know where you guys are
thinking.
Noodle's
real low on this.
I'd like to see it, and I think there's even other teams that could be relocated there or sniffed around it. It's just wanting and actually executing and having the Board of Governors voted in and all that.
That kind of movement in 2 years doesn't generally happen.
Yeah, but wait. And I want to add this piece in.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Go ahead. He's going to add a piece
in. We'll get to that later.
He's choking.
We're good. We'll get to that in a little bit. Craig needs some wine, I think. Get this man some wine.
Exactly.
All right, moving on to the second hot take of Jerry. If Craig will be joining us, I think he will be. At some point during his tenure in Toronto, Freddie Anderson will be nominated for the Vezina Trophy. At some point during his tenure in Toronto, Freddie Anderson will be nominated for the Vezina.
78%.
78%.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with having a good goaltender and a good team and getting a bunch of wins and having solid stats? That's what people go on, right?
You're right. I mean, you would know this. You would know that.
The GMs vote on it. Keep that in mind.
Right.
Right. So the GMs vote on it. The way he's playing, I look at the other goalies in the league, 8%.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm on the lower end here, too. I mean, I would lean towards Noodles, obviously knowing a lot more about goaltending than I do. But
It's not even the knowledge of goaltending. I'm just talking about success breeds winners, right? So if the Maple Leafs are trending in the right direction, and we all know and are witnessing it, okay? You're going to have award winners, especially in the regular season, because your stats will be very good. So we're seeing guys like Matthews have, you know, if he can gets out of his little mini whatever people were talking about, he doesn't have as many goals as people want him to, but he's going to be. He'll be fine. But at some point, Frederick Anderson, if he ends up putting up 40 wins because they're a really good team.
And good stats, higher-end stats.
Yeah, 923 save percentage. Why is he not included in conversations with other goaltenders that have that type of stuff? And he plays 65
I'll go
games.
Right down the middle. Because quite frankly, his November, he was maybe the best goalie in the league.
But his October, he stunk.
But he was awful in October. Right, and that's been his problem, the inconsistency. Okay. And I think that could catch him. I'll go a little bit under 50%, 49%.
Okay.
Just in the minority.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yes.
You also got Vasilevsky, Holtby, and Price.
Yeah.
Right. That are like, in my view.
Bobrovsky.
In the East, clearly, in my view, ahead of him.
Oh,
I don't know how you get into the finalists, and I haven't even mentioned anybody from the West.
Right.
But the thing is, like, Bobrovsky at one point had to get in.
Right.
Like his first Vezina, no one was sitting there saying Bobrovsky's going to be up for a Vezina.
I'm just saying who the competition is.
I understand
is for
that now, yeah.
And Quick, and you go right down the line.
Well, there you go. That's why I think Freddie can. I think he's up against some serious competition.
He is, for sure.
He is.
Sure. This is another long-term one. Both Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty will sign long-term deals this summer to stay in Ottawa and L.A. respectively. So at some point this summer, before the beginning of next year, both Karlsson and Doughty will sign long-term deals to stay with the Sens and with the Kings.
8%.
8%.
Both, you said.
One both of them, yeah,
I
absolutely.
I think one of them is exiting. I don't know who, and I'm not trying to start a rumor or anything, but
one of
I know
gone.
Ottawa wants to keep Karlsson. I guarantee L.A. wants to keep Doughty, but one of them is going to take this a little bit farther. And you said next summer, right? Or is it right?
They're both represented by Newport Sports. So that's something to just... I'm just talking about.
I think they might get
here.
The exact same deal.
Yeah.
Like the exact same
they
contract.
They might. I'm going to say that... I would say 100% that Doughty does in L.A.
That he will get one in L.A.?
Yeah, I really believe that Doughty will be an L.A. King for life. I just...
Yeah.
Not a thing. I'm not so sure Erik Karlsson is there.
Me neither. Karlsson,
so when you do the combined, so I don't know what 104%, 100 and then 4% would be.
Right, right.
With everything going on. Mm. And I don't think Ottawa's that good a team. I know everybody's surprised. I'm not surprised by Ottawa.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was a problem there with money in Ottawa, with Karlsson, what he's looking for, whether or not the owner's willing to commit to it. I'm real low on this. I'll say 1%.
I said 8, right?
Yeah, you said 8. I said 1%.
Okay, I'll go right in between.
There you go.
So what's right in between?
3.75%. There you go.
Well, it's 7.
All right.
7 difference between 8 and 1.
3.5.
Yeah.
No, it's 4.5.
Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You can't win because you're in the middle, Craig.
I'm 4.5. Yeah. I'm 4.5%.
We need Jerry back. This is exactly. Me reading these emails.
I was just trying to do. Let me make my other comment about expansion. Excuse me. I had a little tickle in my throat, and it wasn't funny. Anyway, that being said, the NHL took a long time between the expansion in 2000 with Columbus and Minnesota and then Las Vegas. I think what they learned in that period of time
it
is significant, and that expansion can happen quickly. And remember, we also had a relocation with Atlanta to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So I think the opportunity to do, because of what they learned, television deals, where the league is at economically, and the desire of significant ownership groups to be part of the National Hockey League makes it really, really a significant possibility to happen by 2020.
All right. There you go.
That's my rationale.
I hope you're right. I don't even know if I hope you're right, but I'm all for storylines. I'm all for topics. I'm all for anything that can get me talking big picture and different conversations and debates during the summer specifically, I'll take. Yeah. All right. TFC will not only win the MLS Cup, they're going to spank Seattle and win by at least 2 goals this Saturday afternoon.
Ooh.
I say, first of all, I'm giving that a real... I'll give a higher number for winning, but spanking, no.
I don't see it
either. First of all, Altidore, we don't know where his ankle is at.
Mm-hmm.
So how is he going to be, at what level will he be functioning?
Will Jovinko show up for a big game?
Seattle's a really good defensive team. Mm-hmm. We just saw what Columbus did in 2 games. They did pretty well. Now, I know that Javanko and Altidore didn't play the first leg in Columbus, but, one of the things that, Toronto FC have shown that they might have a little bit of a challenge with is when teams hunker down defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see this being a blowout. I think they can win. I think they will win, but I think it'll be a real tight one.
I'm with you. I'm low on this. I'll say 25%. I think they're going to win. I feel like they'll win, but I could see another penalty kick.
I could see
that again.
6%.
I think it's going to be a low scoring.
I'm right with you. I'm right low at that point.
And if Seattle wins, I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
I mean, there's some people amping this up like it's almost a lock. That's what we were saying a year ago. We didn't learn anything when they played in the MLS Cup.
It's going to be a good game.
And just what happened with Columbus. There was some tight moments in those games.
A backdoor play at what the 87th minute
could have cost
him. Right underneath his leg. That could have been right there.
One goal in 180 minutes of play.
Yeah.
One goal determined who was going to the MLS Cup.
So how can 2 goals go in?
Let's see it.
Talk to the odds maker.
You're right. Yeah. Come on, let's get serious.
Exactly.
All right, this is one. This will be difficult to actually determine how we really score this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. It's Jerry that sends the email. Don't blame me.
I'm talking about Jerry.
Colin Kaepernick will continue to be in the public eye throughout all of 2018. He was one of the runner-ups for Time Person of the Year. He won an SI Sportsman of the Year award, I believe it was, last night. And he has been in the news daily basis for almost a year.
Public eye, like once a month, like what, like
no, like constantly he's being invited different places. You're hearing about him commenting on different things. He's being asked to interview. He's donating money.
Yeah,
he's a guy that the NFL media continues to talk about being boycotted. I'm pretty high on this because I think the lawsuit between him and the league could come to a head at some point in 2018. I think he's become the face and the voice of a movement. Like of a sports movement and Black Lives Matters, and I'm pretty high on this. I'll say 75%.
I'm going 100. I don't think he's going off the landscape. I really don't. And it's no different than what Time Magazine just did with the Me Too movement, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's not going away. And Colin Kaepernick, for what he's done and how polarizing he is. Remember, you know, a newsmaker being in the public eye is polarizing. He's polarizing for a lot of different reasons.
Oh, there's people that turn on him, for sure.
And I think that he's, I really do. I'm going 100 on that.
I don't think he's shying
75?
Away. 75?
75. I'm going to go 60. I'm still in the majority, but I think that they'll... It's a long time, and there's so many other things, news cycle through.
Yeah, like that's a good point, Jamie.
I just feel like there's going to be other world issues. Not that these aren't important, and he's not important. I just feel like you never know what this president's going to be doing, you know, a week from now.
No, for sure. I mean, listen, look what happened in 2017. This was a year where a lot of different causes came to the forefront. A lot of different voices were heard. And I expect that to carry over to 2018. All right, there you have it. Jerry's another week in the bag.
Exactly.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll get back to our poll question pertaining to the Jays and their ownership. And Leafs Flames tonight will tee it up. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Don't forget, we're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's party down at the Pint this Sunday when the Oilers take on the Maple Leafs. Bring out your friends and meet everyone from TSN 1050 and catch what should be a great game. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who have a shot at leaving the Pint with hockey tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for Toronto's New Year's Eve matchup against the Golden Knights. You can win VIP tickets all week on Leafs Lunch and on Overdrive. Again, December 10th, this Sunday, down at the Pint. Leafs Oilers. We've got both games for you this weekend in Pittsburgh on Saturday at home against the Oilers on Sunday. So we've been doing this for weeks.
Yep.
Mullen's away. Our boy Chris is on the board. So Chris is going to hit the cheesy sound effect, and then we'll let you know which number you have to be.
Oh, yeah.
Red 5. So caller 5 right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 5 picks up a VIP ticket to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew down at the Pint this Sunday and have a chance to walk away with Leaf tickets and a trip for two to Vegas.
Nice.
You good with that, Noodles?
I'm good with that.
Good man. All right. We get back into our poll question. Hypothetical Wednesday. The Jays were to, or I guess Rogers were to sell the Jays tonight. What would you want the new owner to do first? Well, update the poll question. Darren Dreger will join us. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. And there could be some trolling from the Argonauts at the ACC. We'll tell you about that next.